important issue, which is the changing of ranks from the superintendents to the brigadiers and so on. And he indicated that this will be effected on the 1st of April. We have not, as a portfolio committee, been briefed on this one, so that we have a better understanding as to what it means. He covered it when he was actually responding to a question. I think it was related to promotion. I am here by suggesting to me that we call the National Commissioner or his office to come and brief the Portfolio Committee on this change before the end of this month, so that before the 1st of April, when it will be implemented. I have our program in front of me, and today it is the 10th, and next week we have a meeting with the ICD. They will be presenting their budget vote. And on the same day, we're supposed to have a meeting with the minister as per his request to brief us on a report by SFVR. I am hereby requesting members that we actually prioritize this briefing on that day, on Tuesday, so that we have the ICD budget vote hearing. And after that, we then have a briefing on this ranking and things, so that we know exactly what is happening. If the committee allows that to happen or agrees with the chairperson, we will immediately inform the Office of the National Commissioner about such a change, so that we know exactly what is happening.
Just a question of clarity, are you saying that that will then replace the CSVR briefing, or will it be in addition to the CSVR briefing?
Okay, I'm actually saying we replace it, so that we postpone it to another date, I mean next session, our next session.
Listen, I'll second your suggestion for the simple reason that I think it's important in the light of many of the things that are being said and perceptions that are created around militarization of the police, and even if you take the shoot to kill issues that comes into play, although that has been clarified in questions, I think it's important that we, especially before we go to constituency period, that we have clarity on this matter, so that if we need to discuss that with our constituents, that we are actually able to do so.
Yeah, if you can just explain to us as well what process they have to follow, because I gather there's no public consultation or anything, and just the concern that I have is what Pop Cruen had to say about it in the briefing to us. If I can just clarify, have they done the consultation? Is it necessary to do consultation or not, or what story? Thank you.
Thanks, Chairperson. No, Chairperson, look, I would agree with the suggestion that you're making. In the presentation yesterday, it also came out the impact that it will have on promotions. There's issues of costings, I would imagine, whole range of issues, and it does have an impact on the budget for this coming year, particularly in the area of rankings, remuneration, etc. So I think it is important that it would be incorrect for us to go to the debate not having a full understanding of the ranking system, because really at the moment we've had to depend really on the media, and I don't take the media as gospel. I think it's best if we can get a proper comprehensive briefing. So I think that will support your suggestion, Chairperson. Thanks.
Well, Madam Chair, I support, though I don't know whether the policy is not already called. I would have thought. I would have
thought that a matter like this, there would be some consultation with Parliament, as there was consultation when they were being changed. Now we hear, it's also we need a proper understanding, like Greg is saying. You see, in the army, you've got two three types of general. In fact, four. You've got lieutenant general, you've got brigadier general, then you've got, of course, what you call the general, the one who is in charge of the army. Now, and of course, if you bring all the ranks, because I think they're moving to military, what are the implications? Because it means more ranks, like you're saying, it means also more corps. But I'm not sure it is solving the problem which we want to solve. Because even the army, the defense, I don't like to talk like a civilian and call the different army, only civilians who call different army. Defense was already addressing the issue of delinking the rank to salary, because that's where the problem is. The other one is not solving the problem. I would have been happy if it was being talked, because they did mention it in one of the briefings, delinking salary to rank. But probably those things will come up there at chapter 4.
Yes, I have to thank members for their support. We will definitely be communicating this after this meeting so that they come next week on Tuesday to brief the committee on this important issue which we picked up yesterday. I one has to apologize to members for a meeting that was rather too short and issues not being processed as one would have loved to, but sometimes the situation in Parliament is such that we can't help it. I will at this time, I think I've welcomed the Secretariat, and I will definitely want to allow the Secretariat to preface. I will definitely not take time people because they've just come. So I definitely will allow the Secretariat to preface on their budget. And welcome them to our meeting. Thank you.
Thanks, Chair. Before I introduce the delegation, I just wanted to make some comments around the presentations. The actual budget and strategic plan is the same as was presented to the Portfolio Committee in Pretoria. We just made copies of it so that we were sure people would still have it with them. So we've made copies of the budget and the strategic plan. The other presentation is something which hasn't really been done, to my knowledge, certainly Mr. Sermon can correct me if I'm wrong, something which hasn't been done in the Secretariat before is to set out an annual performance plan linked to the budget and strategic plan. Because if we are... Basically, if although we are a cost centre and we're not required to table such a report, unlike the police and the ICD, we felt that it was quite an important exercise for us to go through and to take the portfolio through committee through our thinking around the annual performance plan, because it's as important that the Secretariat get held accountable. And also that basically there were a lot of questions, I think, raised when we presented the budget and strategic plan to you about how are we going to implement these issues given our capacity, etc. So I think that it was in that light that we took a decision to develop an annual performance plan ourselves and that we could be held accountable to, and which will obviously influence the performance, the APPs that are, or the performance measures that are being developed for each of the senior staff members and then scale down to the junior staff members. We apologize for only getting this to you on Monday. I think that we were initially unhappy with the initial draft of what was presented, what we came up with, and we actually ended up, because it was the first time we've done something like this, we actually got the person who is assisting us with the development of our performance measures for staff to actually come in and assist us as part of a training exercise in the development of our APP. So yeah. Maybe if that's okay, then I can just introduce the members of the team. For those, I think I've met most of the people here, but it's Jenny Irish Kobosiani, the Secretary of Police.
Irving Kinnis, I'm the Chief Director for Policy and Research.
Tumizan is the Chief Director for Partnerships.
Sam Mawade, Parliamentary Liaison Officer for Secretariat.
Nitira Saroka from Human Resource Management.
Amitan Soman, Acting Head of Services.
There are apologies from Nomvula Nzamandi. She is on a course that a specific policing course that she's attending for 2 weeks. And we had approved it based on the fact that we felt that it would assist her in performing her duties. What I'd like to do is to not go back, rehash what we presented at Kibbutz Kroon, except to say that there is one slight adjustment to this, which was only really finalized yesterday. I think we reported at Kibbutz Kroon that there was a 3 million rand that had been allocated to the soccer expo, although it was not presented like that in the budget. That's essentially what it was for, and I think we reported that we felt very uncomfortable at spending that sort of money on a 5-day expo. And that we had been in negotiations with CETA and ISM about having that money transferred to assist us with setting up our data systems. One of the things that has happened subsequently is that process of setting up that data system has taken a bit longer than we expected, and it is only going to be implemented next year. We can't pay that money over to ISM now because they'll lose the money too at the end of this financial year. So what has happened is we've had discussions with the finance section of SAPS, and we've agreed that we will lose that money this year, the 3 million, but they will add to the budget that we presented to you 3 million in the next year to enable us to set up that IT system during the new financial year. So that's the only adjustment that has been made since the presentation to Kibbutz Kroon. I also want to say that if one looks at our budget for this year, most of that spending, which is often considered a problem, has occurred since the 1st of September, and particularly from November until now, with a large proportion of our spending, of our budget, happening from the period December until basically the end of, and will continue until the end of March when the books close. And that is not because we're trying to rush to spend stuff, but it's really because the Secretariat has become more and more operational as we've gone along since the 1st of September. But we are likely to still see a relatively significant underspend related to the fact that there was very little spending between April and September of last year. But it's something we will have to deal with when we present the annual report to you and the budget to you. But just to explain that is what I'd like us to focus on, because it is basically the performance, because it's important in terms of the budget that the committee actually understand what performance is going to occur as a result of the budget. And just in terms of the background, I don't want to go into too much detail, but just to say that I think one of the important things in terms of looking at the role of the Secretariat and what we've taken into account in terms of our annual performance, and which to a large extent has motivated the changes in the Secretariat, has been that the policing environment has changed, and people have been talking about the Section 49 change, the changes to Section 49, the change into force, etc. And I think one of the things that has been emphasized within that process is the importance within that environment of having a very strong civilian oversight body. And I think that has influenced to a large extent where we place a lot of our priorities. In terms of the mandate of the Secretariat, I'm not going to go through all of it because I think people would be aware of it. One of the things that I think is that if one looks at the third last bullet, provide the minister with legal services and advice on constitutional matters. I think that what we are aiming to do, and you'll see in the performance plan and it came out in our strategic plan, is that historically that advice has been relatively limited to kind of civil claims and that sort of thing. We're saying that those civil claims, etc., we should monitor what is happening with civil claims. but we shouldn't be actually dealing with the civil claims themselves. We should monitor that process and be able to report to the minister that our legal advice should really centre on the whole process of legislation and what legislation. And I think it's been a relatively hard point to drive with in the South African police force for service, but it's I think that they're beginning to recognise that actually it will be the Secretariat going forward that will be responsible for the drafting of legislation, and that we'll have to work alongside the police in looking at their implementation. And that's certainly something which we've already started to do around the instructions for the around the Child Justice Act, which after that last session we are now sitting with them looking at the instructions, but also sitting with them around the implementation plan for that. And I think it's gradually beginning to take hold that is one of the key functions of the Secretariat, because I think, as we said in the strategic plan, that must be based, that legislation must be based on policy, and it's actually the Secretariat that advises the Minister on policy, so it would make sense to basically have the Secretariat dealing with legislation. It has implications for our capacity. At the moment, we've been using other state departments to assist us with that capacity, but ultimately, in the long term, we need to start looking at developing our own legislative capacity within the Secretariat. The other bullet points I'm not really going to go into, because I think they've come out in the strategic plan and they're points that the committee would be aware of. Just in terms of the restructuring, we've spoken a lot about the reorganisation, and it comes up in terms of what you can expect and the timelines around that in our performance plan. Just to comment on the legislation, I think that at the last meeting where we presented the strategic plan and budget, the issue of when are we going to receive the legislation was a major question that was being asked. And just to say that we have just one of the main kind of blockages in finalising of that legislation has been the role of the provinces. And we've had extensive discussions at a MINMAC level with the heads of department, and we basically yesterday met with the legal team that is assisting us in the drafting of this to finalise the role of the provinces with regard to the legislation. I think that people will see when that legislation comes to them that we've tried to base our relationship with the provinces based on a cooperative governance model rather than trying to completely use the role of the MECs, which would be unconstitutional, or to set up a massive secretariat which would include national branches, etc. Then if you just go on to the focus of the secretariat, I think we've highlighted this before, that our key focus is the policy advice to the minister, the monitoring and auditing of the police, which is the civilian oversight, to provide support services to the minister, and it's within that arena certainly at this point that we have placed the legislative responsibilities of the secretariat, and then to mobilise role players and stakeholders and partners outside the department. In terms of our key functions, I think this was also spelt out in our strategic plan that we presented to you. But I think just to say that we want to play a very active and interventionist role as opposed to just the structure that presents reports in terms of how we address policy, how we address our monitoring and auditing function. But also we basically want to look at, in terms of our partnership, it's about basically developing policy and approaches to partnerships and the formalization of those partnerships. That's going to certainly over the next year be one of our major focuses. In terms of the important requirements, we've spoken about the institutional reform, which is the legislation. And just for the committee to be aware, we have to present that legislation to cabinet before the end of March. So that legislation is that's the agreement we had made with the Leader of Government Business in the drafting of our program. And that will include both the ICD legislation and the Secretariat legislation. I think we spoke about this at the last when we met in Pretoria, was that the two bills will be introduced. It doesn't mean they have to be debated alongside each other, but they will be introduced at the end of March to cabinet. They'll be introduced together, although they may be dealt with and debated separately. They'll be introduced at the same time, so that people understand that the two bills do talk to each other, at least. And then, as I said, the reorganisation we've tried to spell out in terms of our timelines and what we're expecting in terms of that. In terms of our key priorities, I think these are priorities which we basically highlighted when we presented our strategic plan to you. The next section is what we have tried to do is to look at the different objectives that we had set our budget around and when we intend to achieve those objectives and what the outputs can be expected. I think we've already said that around the reorganising, we set a date of the end of April 2010 to have the final reorganising process in place. And I think that what was missing in that process with the DPSA was purely the draft of the first draft of the legislation, so that they could make sure that whatever restructuring reorganisation is taking place is in line with what the general proposed legislation is saying. In terms of the support to the minister, I think a crucial area for us is obviously there's the regular briefings with the minister, but also is the issue of international cooperation and relations. And if you look at SACS's budget, there's a significant amount of resources put into international engagement, international cooperation, and international relations. And one of the things that is quite important is that become driven by some sort of policy as to how and where we should be engaging, rather than based on an individual basis. So one of the areas that we are looking at is certainly by May to have that sort of policy up and running. In terms of the leadership and direction of the Secretariat, I think that what we are wanting to focus on, and I think I should have maybe mentioned this at the beginning, that if one looks at these APPs, we spent a significant amount of detail on human resources, which can sometimes be said to be detracting from our core function. But I think given the fact that the Secretariat has been dysfunctional for so long, it is really essential that we put in place very clear performance measures and human resources policies and approaches to enable us to guide us in terms of being able to achieve our objectives. So one of the things that we are looking at doing, and it's something that we've had in discussion with Defence, who are also looking at implementing or who have just started implementing a similar system, is to put in place a system where we will be able to, at every management meeting, track our performance and where we are on target and where we are lagging behind and where we are having serious problems, so that you don't just do a performance agreement when the performance cycle comes around, and you don't just deal with your performance plans when you're dealing with your annual report, but they become very much a part and parcel of your management tools and processes. So I think that certainly from the Secretary's office and from HR, a significant amount of emphasis is being put on using the performance agreements. And, you know, we're talking about looking at SACS Performance Charter and using the information that's available in SACS Performance Charter to be able to monitor them and deal with them. But at the same time, we need to make sure that our own performance is up to scratch, and that old saying of people in glass houses, not throwing stones, doesn't become applicable to ourselves. So we certainly are putting a significant amount of emphasis on that. We don't believe it will detract from our core functions. We believe it will actually contribute to the core functions of the Secretariat. In terms of our legislative support, we've spoken about the Secretariat and the ICD Bill. A crucial area for us is also the Private Security Bill, which we're looking at bringing to Parliament late in the year. And I think that what we've already started some of the consultation processes around this with some of the private security companies, etc. We've done the same with the Secretariat and the ICD. And I think one of the things that we have picked up is that there's certainly amongst your kind of academics and civil society groupings, there's, and even amongst some of the amongst the unions that have been part of the Secretariat consultations, there's actually quite an excitement about the possibility of rejuvenating and re-energizing the Secretariat. One of the things that's not on here, because it isn't on this year's parliamentary program, but I think which certainly in discussions with the minister is going to, we may not be bringing the actual bill this year, but work on the Police Act is absolutely crucial. It's a massive task, and we can't just start that task next year. We're going to have to start that process this year and start the work on it this year, because I think that we would be looking at quite early next year bringing it to Parliament. I'm not going to talk about the relationship with Parliament, because I think we've spoken about that before, and how we would like to relate to Parliament. I think the alignment of provinces is a crucial area for us. And as I said when I was talking about the legislation, we've had quite extensive discussions with both the officials at a provincial level and within the MINMAC structure with the MECs, and have been surprised, I think, at the support that there is for this alignment process. I think what we really are now is thrashing out the nuts and bolts of that alignment, but what we've seen through the firearm amnesty process is that it can work if it's properly managed and handled, that alignment can work. And so we've also included that. In terms of the relationship with ICD, I think we've also spoken about the interdependency relationship between the Secretariat and the ICD, and the role that the Secretariat will play in terms of basically being able to monitor the recommendations and raise issues around the recommendations. But also I think that we have agreed to a kind of joint peer kind of review around performance, where between the ICD and ourselves we actually seriously discuss concerns that we have, because the two are so interrelated, that we would want to engage around the performance of the different entities, and where the and where that performance is impacting on the other structure's ability to perform. In terms of the effective communication, I think that we don't see ourselves as being we see ourselves as working with Parliament, the Minister, NGOs, academics, intergovernmentally, etc. Obviously, the partnership unit has a significant partnership outreach, but I think we don't want to spend excessive amounts on publicising who we are. I think one of the things that we found in the past is that the Secretary has spent a significant amount of money just advertising who they are. And if we are going to engage in communication, it must be around issues as opposed to pens that we can give out that say Secretary of Police, etc. I think that's become one of the major focuses of our communication. But we are also saying that we need to have a very active website which people are able to use as a resource. And that is one of our key priorities, which we're hoping to have fully functional by June. In terms of the special projects, it's quite difficult, apart from the firearms amnesty, to actually clearly develop very concrete APPs for them, because those projects are showing up as we go along. I think that, for example, in the last week, forensics, the full assessment of the forensics has been added to a special project that we would be engaged around. The review, not just following on from the firearms amnesty, not just looking at the amnesty itself, but looking at the whole administrative systems within the firearms registry and what are the blockages and what are the problems, is another kind of special project that we would be taking on. In terms of the policy and research unit, I think that we want to place a large emphasis on the quality of the kind of reports we produce. And so that is becoming a major driver in terms of how we looking at the policy unit. And so in terms of some of our targets, I think we've got three crucially important areas that we need to focus on in the next year, and that is we would like to do a very comprehensive state of the policing of policing report, which is going to address a whole lot of issues around the state around policing in South Africa. Obviously, arising out of the Cabinet Lehutla document, and there'd be quite a lot of toing and froing with SACS about whose responsibility is this, and we finally convinced them that this is actually the intention of Cabinet in looking at a victim perception survey was to have an independent survey conducted, and therefore it should actually be administered through the Secretariat, and that we should bring in the external role players, and we should then evaluate what are SACS doing in line with what comes out of that victim perception survey. And I think for us, the issue is the survey is all well and good, but we need to look at what are the implications of that survey, and that'll be one of the crucial functions of the Secretariat. And then something which I think has been on the agenda for an incredibly long time and which really every year SACS have raised is the question of sector policing and a proper review of what is happening around sector policing and why are SACS not meeting their commitments around the area of sector policing. I think that we've spoken about the need to establish a kind of information hub of best practices and to engage with the relevant stakeholders. And I think I mentioned earlier that we have had a series of engagements, and I think most of them took place after we had the discussions in Pretoria with yourself. We've had a series of workshops this year with academics and people from civil society, and I think there's a really open sense of wanting to engage with the Secretariat in partnership as opposed to the Secretariat commissioning out its work to those sorts of role players. And we want to become part of information hub that exists within the academic world and within the civil society. One of the issues that then comes up is this establishment of a reference group. We have a principal agreement around the reference group, the establishment of this reference group, which will comprise of leading academics, leading people in civil society, and I think our approach as a Secretariat is, even if we don't necessarily agree with the people that are on the reference group on all issues, if we're able to debate and discuss those issues, it sharpens our thinking in terms of how we view those issues. So we basically are hoping by April to have that policy reference group fully operational and functional. I think that one of the things we've recognized is that there's a huge amount of raw data within the South African Police Service. And one of the crucial areas that the policy unit is going to have to look at is to actually looking at how we can make use of this raw data in order to understand exactly what is happening within the police service or the police force. I think that we also are looking at to work around some very specific issues that have come up. The first is the reservist issue. People will have seen the what has happened in the media, etc., around the reservist issue. And I think that we have, and that the minister lifted the moratorium around the reservists at the end of last year. However, having lifted that moratorium, there is still no proper policy in place to address the reservists. And there has the policy that has been developed there by SACS itself, there's some concerns about. So we are now working very closely with the police in reshaping that reservist policy, because it has become a major priority area. The Metro Police and the issue of the relationship between the Metro Police and the South African Police is an issue that we are also working on, and there was quite a lot of hype and media around this issue last year, and I think people need to understand it's not a simple issue. It's a highly complex issue. We have a team working on that involving people from the provinces, because a lot of the Metro agencies are based in the provinces. We have a legal team, and we are trying to just understand that terrain before we start engaging about where we should be going around the Metro Police issue. I've spoken about the functioning database. That would be one of the things we wanted to set up, and we've already, the starting of it has been incredibly useful, I think, for the entire Secretariat, is this establishment of a kind of resource center within the Secretariat, which will be able to, whoever is working within the Secretariat will be able to say, okay, I need to look at the annual report from 1992 and see what the rank structure was in 1992, and how did it look in 1992, or a partnership unit wants to say, I need to know who is working on a particular area that I need to be engaged with. But we also want that research center to be able, that resource center to be able to interface with other academic institutions and resource centers and resources that are out there. So it becomes a center which is able to assist the Secretariat in terms of performing its function, but we also want it to be able to be used by the Minister, by your research unit, if necessary, to actually access what is. Ultimately, I mean, we would like in the long term to have it also to be able to access what is happening internationally around particular areas. We're not seeing the person that has been appointed to head up that resource center as being somebody who's just like a librarian. That person will need to be much more of a kind of activist person, understanding exactly what is happening in their terrain. If you speak to them and say, I need to know about this, they'll say, yeah, well, I can tell you that so-and-so and so-and-so, and I know there's a paper here, et cetera, on it. So it isn't just a library of information. It actually becomes what the resource center was envisaged to be. So that's under the policy and the research area. In terms of the monitoring and evaluation, I think we have spoken about some of our priority areas being the development of a monitoring tool and the implementation of that tool. And I think what we are recognizing is that we need to cooperate with Parliament at some levels, we need to cooperate with the provinces at some levels, but there may be particular areas that we require information on, which may be in addition to the tool, for example, that is being used by Parliament and by the Portfolio Committee. But certainly we see that cooperation agreement as being essential, and that what we would want to do is to have an effective data system, and we've been engaged in extensive discussions with CETA around making sure that the database system that we develop is able to give us the type of information that we require out of that tool. And because to try and do analyze those sort of tools on a paper basis or without a proper database system is going to become a serious problem for us. I think that we've highlighted all along that with the changes to the ICD, our monitoring of those ICD recommendations, the implementation of them, is a crucial factor, and being able to report back to the ICD, but also being able to report to Parliament and the Minister on what are the problems in terms of the recommendations being implemented. I think one of the areas that we have, and I think I mentioned this, but I just want to raise it again, is that the Secretariat in the past has been a bit of a complaints office. So we've received an incredible amount of individual service delivery complaints. And what we are now saying is SACS should be responsible for actually dealing with the complaints. we should be monitoring what are they actually doing within their complaint system to address that. So if one takes, for example, the presidential hotline and the complaints that come from the presidential hotline, that should action what comes out of that presidential hotline and be able to respond to it. We should be monitoring how our SAC's performing in terms of addressing the complaints and the queries that come from the presidential hotline and looking at the fundamental problems that exist in terms of SACS's handling of service delivery complaints and getting an understanding of the broad nature of those complaints, because they will give you an indication of where the service delivery issues are falling. And so that's another area that we want to focus on with monthly evaluation reports to the minister. We would be happy to also be able to look at regular kind of reports on some of those issues to the portfolio committee, which I think is something we would quite like to engage with you, is that we tend to see the portfolio committee like this time when we're doing budgets, and maybe it's something that we need to look at. How do we structure in, if we are going to be producing this sort of information, how do we structure in reports on particular areas to the portfolio committee and being able to brief them on particular, be it service delivery problems or whatever, going forward. I think that a crucial area for us is the Firearms Control Act, and I think it's when we talk about the legal implications, I think we're more talking here about the administrative problems. That SACS has certain responsibilities under that Firearms Control Act. I think we've had a lot of engagement recently with a number of different role players, from gun-free to gun owners, etc. And I think the general agreement amongst a lot of the people we've been engaging with is that we all support the Firearms Control Act, but there are a lot of bureaucratic problems that need to be ironed out within that Firearms Control Act. So that is when we talk about the legal, it's what whether SACS is able to effectively implement that, and what do we need to do to make sure it is effectively implementing the Firearms Control Act. And then I think we've spoken about the issue of looking at things like the performance charter and using that sort of information to give us a really accurate picture of where we're at. I think we've even started to use the parliamentary questions as a way of understanding what is going on in SACS, because we found a huge amount of information coming out of the parliamentary questions, which we don't otherwise always get access to. So it's an interesting process. I mean, obviously the issue of the domestic violence and the monitoring of the implementation of the Domestic Violence Act, which is something which comes up in the legislation around the ICD and says that that should become a civilian oversight role. That is going to take an extensive amount of time and resources. And then I think we mentioned at our last meeting that we would like to, and it's a relatively ambitious thing, but we have already been looking at a team, and we have some people who from civil society groups who will become part of the team, not as consultants, but as a partnership, as well as the provinces. We would like to almost look at service delivery province by province. I think that the report that we received from our parliamentary liaison officer about the portfolio committee's visits in the Mpumalanga area, coupled with some of the problems that we have picked up in the monitoring of the firearms amnesty, have highlighted to us the need to do a very comprehensive monitoring of service delivery at a local police station level. And rather than just pick and choose particular stations, we would like to almost do a province-by-province assessment. And I think we raised that in our strategic plan. We recognize that is going to be a highly resource-intensive exercise, which is why we are looking at a team of people doing this in partnership with certain people from civil society. We've drawn on particular expertise that we would like to be part of the team. So we're looking at business giving us some systems people to look at systems and management issues. We're looking at some level at community participation to look at the community engagement. So we're looking at a team that hopefully will be able to, and what we set ourselves the target of saying, let's do three provinces in this first year. and be able to have a very comprehensive picture of what is happening around service delivery in those three provinces in that first year, and then start looking at other provinces. This won't mean that if there's a particular problem at a particular hotspot station, we wouldn't go to that station if it was outside those three provinces. But we really would like to do a very comprehensive service delivery and do it so that by the end of 3 or 4 years, you've actually addressed service delivery in each and every province at a local level within the police. And then I think in terms of our community outreach program, I think we basically are looking at one of the things we've wanted to do, and we've had some discussion around, is around the Isimbizo issue, is to say that we shouldn't just have one-off meetings of this nature with communities. We should have, I'm not sure if I got that right, but after the last meeting, that we don't want to have one-off meetings with communities and then we go in there with fanfare, et cetera, et cetera. We want to try and link what comes out of those meetings into our approach with regard to partnerships. And where do we take what comes out of those meetings in terms of partnerships with the local station and the issues that are raised in those areas so that those don't just become a nice publicity event. They become something meaningful in the communities where they take place. I think we have spoken about the need to look at the formalization of our relations. And when we talk about the business community, we're not talking here exclusively about the big business community. We've had extensive engagements with people like FBP, the Small Business Partnership, the Small Business Advisory Board, about the need to look at formalizing our relationships with business generally and not just the big and historically white business, but we are in the process of finalizing an MOU with Business Against Crime. We have, as I said, had engagements with the Small Business Advisory Council, with the FBP about how we can begin to engage with them. I think crucial in terms of our engagement around civil society is the labor, the faith-based organizations, the political organizations, the women's organizations, youth, civics, CPF, and specific interest groups. And I think if there's anything that the Secretariat has achieved over the last period, it's been around being able to engage with specific interest groups rather than to pull together a broad group of people with all different interests. What we've tried to do is target our interactions to specific. So when we're talking about, for example, women's groups, we've specifically said let's not, when we've had the engagements with academics and civil society, we've said let's have a separate engagement with groups that are specifically focused on women's issues, because there would be very specific issues that they would want to focus on.
And you only have 10 minutes.
Okay. I'm almost finished. Okay. The CSS, I think we mentioned that we really need to look at that whole CSS in terms of what came out of Cabinet and the Lhutla and the way in which the CSS policy has been approached in the past. And I think we did mention to you that we intend to pilot 10 CSS initiatives together with the provinces. We won't be doing it on our own. And based on those pilots, to have a very well formulated policy which is based on practical experiences on the ground. I've spoken about the human resources and the importance of human resources, and I'm not going to go into too much detail about the stuff. Plus, my human resource manager, some of the terms she's had to teach me about, so she could also probably answer questions around that. And in terms of the support services, I just want to make one comment, that we've also been quite detailed in terms of our support services. And I think we've done that for two reasons, because if one looks at the legislation and where the legislation is going, the legislation is essentially taking the civilian secretariat away from being a cost center within SAPS and becoming what could potentially be a designated department in itself. If that is the case, we need to make sure that as a civilian oversight body, we have proper systems and support services and procurement processes and whatever in place, because it's very difficult for a civilian oversight body if they are supposed to stand to monitor and audit, for example, the police's budget, and yet you are not able to control and have proper systems in place within your own. So we have put a lot of emphasis, and it's something that I think I mentioned at the strategic planning workshop that we had asked for a team to go in and look at our support services, and we did pick up that there were some that weren't. They were not necessarily around fraudulent stuff, although there are one or two disciplinary issues arising out of this, but they were generally around just the procedures and the capacity that exists within our support services. So although we have tried to be very detailed around the support services, it's precisely for that reason, and I'm going to end there and assist with answering your question.
Thank you very, very much, Jenny. We will be taking questions from members. Let me state that we received apologies from the Reverend Mishwiri is requesting to leave from 1 to 5. Ms. Paula Barnett, she is in the house. She has some responsibilities there. We will now be taking questions from members. Honorable Annelies, Honorable Tifa, Honorable Greg,
I think one performance measurement that we must put in is the 7-day rule. So, you know, I've got a couple of questions that I want to ask. I think, first of all, I mean, we said it in the strategy workshop in Pretoria as well. It's And I think especially for those of us like Mr. Jordan and Lowell, whoever it may be, it's actually nice to listen to a secretariat that makes sense. And in that, and we hope we're going to see that throughout, you know, that we are going to see the difference that the secretariat is going to make. I think the issue on both my issues are basically on... I've got three issues. They're all three on the communication part of it. The first is that I think that the point raised by Mr. George earlier about the ranking system and the changes of ranks, for me that would be something that we would expect the Secretariat to inform us about and brief us about by Ms. M. Or at least advise the Minister to do so. And I think when you look at your performance measurements in that regard, with the committee as well, it's very reactive. It's not proactive. It's not the secretariat taking initiative to come and brief the committee about things, because I think, if I remember correctly, at some point you say to be determined by the committee. And I think I would suggest that it also from one of the performance agreements is for them to actually take initiative to come and brief us about things that they believe we should know and we should be informed about, especially since we are supposed to be an important partner within the fight against crime. Second thing, Chairperson, is in the same vein, I think as much as we call the Auditor General, the Treasury, the unions, if we've got a functional secretariat who's conducting civilian oversight, I would presume that the secretariat will also have to come to this committee to make an input around this time of the year on the budget of the SAPS. If they are going to determine policy directions, measuring the outcome of service delivery, etc., I would expect that they would be an important player in making an input to this committee during budget time. And I think they might be a gap there as well in that regard. Then in terms of effective communication services, page 7, you refer to the fact that
want to get to that.
Sorry, now I've got the wrong one here. You refer to the fact that the implementation of a communication strategy aimed at informing and mobilizing role players, stakeholders, etc. If you then go to 13, where you do the actual performance indicators of that, the sub-program, the objectives, the output there, I think the one thing for me, Chairperson, that do get lost is exactly that point of a communication to stakeholders. It is focusing on the web page, but I mean also the stakeholders are not all cannot all access web page or internet. And again, for me, it also touches on this thing about informing role players in time, like for instance on stakeholders, like for instance the portfolio committee, but it can also be those that you've spoken about and many others we still don't know about. So that is the one thing that I believe are getting lost in that. While you clearly stated in 7, it's not reflected in the performance and the sub-programs of that. Chairperson, I think those were the issues that I wanted to raise. They did answer the question that I had about when we can expect legislation. That was another question. Yeah, that's it. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thanks, Madam Chair. I just wanted to see where in the budget they're providing for our services and informing them of the information they need for their jobs. My question. I just want to know, I can't see from your budget, what is the total percentage of the budget allocated to staff remuneration now? Because we had a big issue last year, well, I certainly did, about the percentages was allocated and the number of directors and assistant directors and deputy directors you had in the department and in relation to your staff who actually did the work. And is there any way we could get some kind of organogram as to how it has been restructured or is envisaged to be restructured? And then just on, I think I'd get the story about your 3 million rand. Is it not at a stage where you can at least commit to the expenditure and roll over the money, because I hate losing money. And then thirdly, I'm just having a bit of difficulty understanding the differences between now you and the secretariat, you and the inspectorate and the ICD roles. I mean, if we have problems and complaints about service delivery in our area, can we send them to you? And when was it only when it's corruption or very serious stuff we sent to the ICD? How does it actually work in practice?
Thanks, Chairperson. Just if I may, firstly, I'm looking at, where's this document? If I look at the document, and unfortunately I wasn't in Kiwi's crew and I was somewhere else, but worse than that. But if I look at the document on page 4 that was given to us there is the budget there. And it's really following on to what the Honourable Schaefer has asked, the percentage of your budget that's been allocated towards remuneration and staff, etc. If one looks at it, it's quite a high amount. And I look at the other amounts that are allocated to the other sub-programs. And my question would really be, if looking at your budget here, is it going to be sufficient to actually do the work that you're wanting to do? And I'm not asking that question so that you say, no, we need more money. But it's a real question. So that would be my first question. I think also I've looked through this plan as you were going through now. There's a lot of targets which you've got to meet fairly soon. April, May, June, quite a lot. I'm hearing March, but anyway. My question would be, are you going to be able to meet those requirements? You've set yourself quite a high, quite strong target, and a lot of targets to reach, and I'm just wanting to know, are you actually going to reach them, and are you going to manage to fulfill those? I think that for us is important. Then in terms, and it also then brings me to the issue of staff complement. Now, again, the Honourable Schaefer has asked that, we perhaps be getting organograms to understand what the structure is. But again, I would ask, with all of these targets that you're wanting to achieve now, in the next two to three months, do you have sufficient staff to do that? I mean, I think that's important for us to know. And just really the other question that you spoke about, these establishment of provincial secretariat management forums. Can you maybe just unpack that for us? Tell us what's that about. Is that over and above your current structure? If you can just unpack that for us, it would be quite helpful. And just my last question, Chairperson, in relation to the work of the Secretariat performing a large monitoring role over the SAPS, can you maybe tell us, what are you getting the cooperation that you need? It'd be interesting to know that. Thanks.
Thank you, Chairperson. My first question is linked to what Honorable Greg just asked now. Your relationship with the staff, particularly with the police, particularly with the minister's office, because you said that to get some information you rely on parliamentary questions, implying that when you ask for questions or when you want information you don't get it, so you have to rely on parliamentary questions. So that raises questions about the relationships. My second question, Analyst Tashon, it also on the issue of ranks. Now, as you have to provide evidence-based strategic research and policy advice, is this change of ranks based on the research you have made? Have you been part of the discussions, or were you totally left out? And the third question, this is relevant, totally left out. What is your involvement in the whole thing? Thirdly, about the policy reference group, I want to know how big will it be and what percentage of the budget will it be allocated to this policy reference group, and in the structure of your organogram, where will this policy research group fit? Thanks.
Thank you, Chair. Let me mention up front that you're a very, very powerful structure, very powerful, doing oversight, advising the minister and the committee. You also play a role in mobilizing the role players here would be provincial departments of police in establishing and managing the community safety forum. This shall also be funded by the relevant department in each province with its own directorate. My concern is the abuse of substance, particularly amongst the youth. It's alarming. When I was in Mamelodi over the weekend, the community elders met with me and said to me, because you are from Parliament, what are you doing about these things? Because there were pockets of sources of this substance abuse, particularly in the area called B3. I saw these things, abuse of substance by youth, almost 16 and 17 years old. When they were running away from the police, they passed, they hide next to me with those vials of substance. So the creation of the community safety forums are very, very urgent to involve the communities in curbing the use of substance that leads to violent crimes in our communities. Instead of this youth being at school, they are abusing this substance. I was not surprised that Mami Lodi over the weekend or this week has gone aflame. What are you doing in seeing to it that these community safety forums are functional? Because when you go amongst the communities, they will tell you, I'm going to the policing forum. But are they supported? Thanks, Chairperson.
One more question that I thank you very much that I want to ask. In your special project, I see you focusing on the firearms. Surely with the Soccer World Cup, don't you believe that there should be some focus from the Secretariat's side on the police's handling of the security around the Soccer World Cup?
I don't know why analysts are overtaking me. I don't know. No, there are only two questions that I wanted to raise, Chairperson. I want to unpack the interventionist, how they think that should be. If the Secretary talk about intervention, what do they mean? What do they mean by that? Intervening when and how? Because we are talking about budget and we are talking about money. Are they intervening at the end, at the beginning, or at the start? Where? And are they talking about the policy? What intervention they are talking about? Secondly, Jefferson, if you say in a strategic plan to develop and contribute to the global view on policy practice and methodology, I'm just a total layman. I'm not just an analyst and a lawyer. I just want to know exactly what do you mean by that? What do you mean by that? Contributing to global policy, practice, and methodology. What do you mean by that? Because it will make me understand exactly what, at the end of the day, we mustn't ask the same questions that you said, but now it's different and so on and so forth. Thank you, Chairperson.
Before the I'm not a lawyer. For some other reason, the Secretary of Police is ignoring one of the staff members and I haven't introduced it.
I forgot to introduce the person who basically runs the Secretary de facto and certainly runs my life, and that is Nalatunde, my PA. Nalatunde, do you just want to introduce yourself?
I'm Nalutando Kuba, from Secretariat to the National Secretary.
Thank you very much.
She is Nalutando Kuba, the PA to the Secretariat.
Thank you very much. They are all old.
The question I want to ask, Chair, will be currently what constitutes the Secretariat with regard to legislation is very well in place. The idea is to go introducing new legislation, and what then happened to the current legislation, if there's any, the direct policy shift, what we call that, I think we'll have to get into the details. what are the weaknesses that you have identified in the current law that necessitate you introducing a new law that, you know, explain to effect of your operation, your my look of things here, it's overwhelming effect of the civil career. Therefore, for me, it's quite very critical to understand that legislative process and what currently happens.
Thank you very much,
Member.
National infractions, you referred to them. Why are they linked? I don't know whether you are the right person to refer this question to, but if you are, why are they late? Because the Child Justice Act was passed some time last year, and it is only now that we hear about national instructions being drafted and so on. Why are they late? To such an extent that when the Act kicks off in April, they will not be there. Why? Other legislation, particularly the ICD and your legislation, I think the question has been asked, but I think at this time it should be possible for yourself to know the dates, that on this date this would be happening on this date, because also us here, we have to plan, and we can only plan if we know your plan that is now precise. We are in 2010, not planning for 2010, but we are in 2010. When exactly must we expect, I'm talking about dates now, when are we expected to get this legislation? Page 12 on your document. You said your output will be to ensure the implementation of ICD recommendations. How are you going to do that? How are you going to do it? One other responsibility that you have is that of research. And you know, I'm interested to know as to how are you going to come up with research topics or questions. You know, I'm sitting here and I really wish that somebody could just conduct a very simple research on the distribution of vehicles. Why? I mean, what policy or system are we using in South Africa, and at where are we failing? That you go at national level, you are told we have more than enough vehicles, you go to police stations, there are no vehicles. At what stage? Where are the failures? Which system are we using, and where are we not implementing that, and why? You know, simple research, that is why I'm asking. Yes, I think other questions have been asked, which I had. Okay, maybe. Yeah. Oh, okay, yeah. On your reports published, you said your target is reports published in academic journals. Do you have a number, maybe, to say so many per year and so on and so forth, so that we can hold you accountable on what has been said? But if you don't, it's not a big issue. Yeah. Those are the questions. So, Honorable Dube, Honorable Lisetto, then you're going to respond to questions. If there are follow-up questions, then we take.
Chairperson, I'm sorry, I was late. I was still, you know, assisting the people in the office to their... who were doing installing the line, but therefore I asked them to ask my apologies. The question that I want to ask, I'm not too sure if it's already been asked, about reservists. I just want to check, because some of us don't even know what's happening. What is the position about the reservists? Because there are so many complaints that come to some of us and then we don't have answers. What is the procedure that we are taking to see to it? Either they will be incorporated or maybe they will be sent home, because they went through training, they are wearing uniform, but we don't know who's supposed to give them that stipend, then how much is it? Thank you.
Sorry, I forgot. Actually, you remind
I missed an opportunity when I was with the department to directly ask them, but since you are doing oversight, I see horses, police on horses. I see dogs, police moving with dogs. But I don't hear mention of those animals. Who are they belonging to? How many are they? What are they not budgeted for? Thanks.
Okay, I'm going to refer some of the questions to my colleagues, and I will try, if I've left out questions, it's not because I've we're ignoring them, it's because maybe people just need to bring them back to their attention. I think that the issue of the timely informing, making the engagement with the portfolio more of a proactive and timely informing the portfolio committee about things like the rank structure, etc. I think what we would probably want to do is to look at a performance measure that we could develop and submit that, resubmit the stuff with whatever comes up, our performance plan, whatever what comes up. And I think probably the criteria would be around key policy issues, so that the portfolio committee is aware of key policy issues. Or possibly, given what has been said about the reserve, it's also highly topical issues that are also becoming highly topical, which may not necessarily, well, they actually are policy issues. If you look at the reserve, they actually are policy issues. But to look at that, the portfolio that we structure in particular briefings on a regular basis on particular policy issues, and maybe that's the kind of basis on which the briefings would take place. I think also to put in a performance measure around the budget in terms of factors that we're able to provide something to the effect that we would be able to provide professional timeous information to the portfolio committee or input to the portfolio committee around the budget. I mean, something like that. And I think that's something we would want to go back and look at including in the performance measure. On the issue of the communication, I think that maybe the problem is the wording, because we've taken, when we talk about the communication on that page you're referring to, what we're essentially talking about is the partnership unit. But because the Act hasn't been changed yet, it's referred to as communication in the Police Act. When we bring in the legislation, that will become the partnership unit. So I think that that's probably where the confusion is coming in, that a lot of it, we're going to be driving a huge amount of our communication approach through the partnership unit. And what we've referred to on that, I think it's page 5, where we talk about communication, that is essentially our partnership unit, which is our outreach and policy around partnership units. So I think that's maybe why when we come to the actual performance around communication under the Secretary's office, we're talking about very few areas. And I think what the member has pointed out, the Honourable Member has pointed out, is true. But then it has to be taken into context that when we talk about the earlier communication, we're talking about our partnership unit. In terms of the organogram, I think that we would very happily, I mean, the organogram has got to be approved by the minister, and we would, I think it would be one of the issues that we would need to bring back to the portfolio committee is the final organogram. I think one of the things that we do need to point out, and I think it was related to the comment about the amount we're spending on our budget, is that if one looks at the work of the Secretariat, and particularly in the policy arena and in the civilian oversight, less so in the partnership arena, a lot of our work, but even in the partnership, the supplies, a lot of our work is going to be based on having the human resource capacity to perform those functions. So we're always going to have a situation, I think, and it's going to be a bit of an unavoidable situation where our human resources budget is going to outstrip our operations budget. Because at the end of the day, if we were to be commissioning out
a lot of our work. Then our operations budget would probably outstrip our human resources budget. But we wanted to develop that capacity in-house and say that it's actually the function of the Secretariat. So I think that that is always going to be the case. We've had discussions with the Finance Department of SAPS, and I think they certainly said that they were going to mention it to yourselves, is that we said to them that there are going to be possible changes to our human resources budget based on what comes out of the restructuring process. And they, but that is something that we can't really anticipate until we have finalized that. We don't want to create a huge, big bureaucratic structure. We want to keep it a small, quite streamlined, highly professional structure. But there may be some additional costs, and they have indicated to us, and when we look at the amount they've allocated under that section, which they refer to as corporate services, there is certainly sufficient money that if we required to ask for an additional amount, it would be. We would be able to do that. I think that the amount that's spent on operations as opposed to the amount that's spent on human resources is listed on page 3. I'm not sure. I'd have to get one of our finance people to work out what that exact percentage is, but it's the 8 versus the 13, basically, what that. But as I say, we're always going to have a problem with the fact that our human resource budget is always going to outstrip our operational budget, because it's the human resource that's going to carry out most of the work within the Secretariat.
Clarity, it's a kind of clarity, please.
Yeah.
I thought that was the case, but I mean, all these other amounts that were allocated here, is that not including staff costs?
No.
Like your, whatever.
No, they're like publishing reports.
Okay.
The only place where we are commissioning artwork, and this was a requirement of the Cabinet for Hutler, is the victim survey, where they required that survey be done by an independent from government entity. So that would be the only time we would be commissioning artwork. All the other stuff in here relates to, and I think somebody mentioned the costs of the reference group. What we're talking about in terms of the reference group costs, people are not going to be paid. They've agreed to do it as part of a partnership with us. The amount that's been budgeted, the $126,000 that's been budgeted, is for workshops with that group, which may be 2 days workshops. The group is a national group. We're looking at a group of about 12 people that will be part of that group, but they are national, so there would be some flight costs involved, a small amount of accommodation costs. So for the year, we're looking at a budget of $126,000, which I think is quite, we actually budgeted based on the number of people that are part of that reference group, how many flights, how many meetings are we planning a year, are we planning a workshop. So it wasn't just a thumbs up figure that we budgeted for the reference group. The $3 million, we were told that if we can commit it to ISM, but then ISM will lose it, because that's why we were told that we can't do it this year. So it is a question of losing it. Losing it to SACS, not necessarily you losing it to Treasury, but losing it to SACS. But as I said, they've agreed to give us an additional $3 million next year to cover that. In terms of whether our budget is sufficient, I think that we, we mentioned that we don't want to create a big, huge, and we also need to say that we're also trying to work with the provinces who have huge budgets. I mean, and I think that Mr. Demo can comment on it later when he talks about the community safety forum, for example. We would be driving some of the processes, but a lot of the huge funding that would need to go to those community safety forums would come from the provinces, because they have, I mean, KwaZulu-Natal, for example, has a 270 million rand budget. So we want to start being able to have some influence over how that budget is spent, certainly particularly when it comes to partnerships, which is probably our biggest cost, is to get our partnership unit to work with that. And maybe that's where I should pick up on the issue that was raised about the provincial secretariat. This is an issue that's going to be in the legislation. What we have agreed to, and it was quite interesting that, in fact, all the MECs actually agreed to this at the last LINMAT meeting, was we said to them that we could go two routes. We could set up our own branches of the Constitution refers to a single police civilian secretariat. It refers to the MECs being allowed to appoint departments to assist them, okay, and secretariats in consultation with the minister. But there's only one national secretariat within the Constitution. So we said to the MECs that we could go two routes. We could set up our own branches, do what the ICD has done, and set up our own branches in the provinces and operate through those provinces, in which case you would have two parallel oversight bodies working. You would have the Police Civilian Secretariat, which is a national base, and you would have the MEC's office, which has an oversight function. Also, we said to them at that point, what will then happen is if the MEC comes and says to the Provincial Police Civilian Secretariat, can you help us with information? They'll say, no, we report to the National Secretary, we don't report to you. That's one route, and we didn't want to go that route because it doesn't make sense in terms of cooperative government. So what we agreed to is that each and every province will establish a provincial secretariat in consultation with the minister. The appointment of the head of that secretariat will also be done in consultation with the minister because you can't ask an MEC to consult with the Secretary of Police. It's not, you can't. So it's in consultation with the minister, which will obviously involve the Secretary of Police in that process. And that those provincial secretariats are specifically set up along the lines of the national, of the Police Civilian Secretariat, with the exception of there is no policy unit, because policy is a national competency, but that they have the partnership unit and the monitoring and evaluation unit, that there will be a dual reporting function, and this is what the lawyers have had a lot of difficulty thrashing out in the legislation. There will be a dual reporting There'll be a dual reporting function to both the MECs and ourselves, and that our strategic plan and annual performance plan will influence those provincial secretariats. So the province will still have the HOD and whatever else, but there will be a dedicated provincial secretariat whose head is appointed in consultation with us. We will have a joint reporting function. That's what the lawyers are working out at the moment. The budget for that and the need for it to be a joint reporting is because the budget is also going to come from the provinces. The budget will not come from ourselves. It's been quite a detailed process that the legal team have had to look at in terms of the constitutionality of it. We said to them yesterday, what we have come up with may not be the 100% ideal situation, but it fits into the Constitution, and it fits in with our approach to cooperative government and cooperation at different spheres of government. So I think that the details of that are going to be fleshed out in the legislation that will be presented, and that's where we're hoping that that partnership unit would then also drive some of the stuff and would take responsibility for some of the funding because of the amount those provinces have. In terms of the relationship between the around service delivery of the inspectorate,
on the issue of the constitutionality of the formation of one secretariat, so what I wanted to understand this format that we are now using, the approach that we are taking, it's only informed because of the budgetary arrangement. This is the issue that I think we're stressing on currently. Is that we have one police service. And I don't know how we then begin to develop this power and then give them to provinces. And we're pushing one position, which is to create this one police service mechanism. I see there's a problem, but maybe we'll wait until when legislation comes in, because I think Parliament has a role to play there. You can decide and say, this is what we want. They come to Parliament, we say, no, we want one single response. You see, with the new system you are bringing in, based on the report that you have given, I fully agree with you, these are very critical areas. And this is exactly what the oversight should be. And if I was going to create other nine entities there, like a federal state, this is not the Federal Republic of KwaZulu-Natal or whatever, that you should just to take the So I'm saying that I think it would be very interesting to have that presented to the committee, and we can engage on that further. For me, it's something that is very clear, based on what we want. Because, you see, once we begin to implement this plan, in fact, overhauls the entire record. And we're now going to find limiting provinces that are not going to be in line with this process. I'm telling you, it's just going to be a future exercise. That budget needs to be allocated to, and I'm not saying it now, but I'm saying that budget will definitely, if it's a secretariat budget, let it go to the secretariat. If the issue of formations of whatever structure I'm talking about, it doesn't go there. We must never apologize things and say, you know, because we are afraid MECs, those things are taking their powers away. One single police force in the country does not mean that we create the federal state. So, but I think we'll engage on that when that time comes, because I will definitely be very interested to look at that particular. Because you'll see, you'll fail. This is a wonderful plan of putting things. Now you want to fail it, in fact, by creating these other limiting things that you want to put around. Only because you see, you don't want, you know, to tamper with people's power at the provincial level and what was. That's not what you're going to do. If you transform, you transform. You don't apologize.
I think in our discussion yesterday with the state law advisors, we said, you know what, we've gone as far as we can, because we haven't just taken the budget. We've also looked at the NEC's role in terms of oversight, et cetera, and their constitutional role. So I think we said exactly what you are saying now, that this is an issue that actually needs to come to the portfolio committee and needs to be debated and discussed at this level and decisions taken on it. We've gone as far as we feel we can go. We've pushed the boundaries as far as we think we can go around this issue, and but we're well aware that it was discussed at the MinMAC, as I say, the minister led that discussion. We realise that this is an issue that is going to be probably the major issue around this legislation that's going to have to be debated here. No. That won't happen until after the legislation. Some provinces have done it, but it will be restructured based on the legislation anyway. Just on the service delivery and the inspectorate and the ICD and our role, I think that I think we need to acknowledge that all three structures have been dysfunctional. The inspectorate, the ICD, and the secretariat have been relatively dysfunctional, and we need to make sure that each one of them is performing the role that they need to perform. I think that essentially some of the individual service complaints should be handled by the secretariat, and the secretariat should be monitoring to some extent the work of the secretariat itself. The ICD, when you see the legislation, is going to be very firmly focused on particular issues and it comes in the context of the change in policing environment. We're talking about things like deaths in custody, deaths as a result of police action, rapes where policemen have been involved, and not a general complaints body where people complain to around service delivery and everything else. But that SAPs are going to be looking at a proper and effective service delivery complaints mechanism, and there will be the inspectorate to deal with some of the particular issues. The secretariat's role is going to be to monitoring how those are handled, because I think that what we said is we want to move away from the individual complaints. But obviously, parliamentarians bring us stuff, and by nature of them being parliamentarians, we do generally try and look at that. And we do find that sometimes it's symptomatic of a bigger problem. And that's when you ask about the relationship with the police. I think we're starting to realize that our honeymoon period is over. that is fast becoming a problem. We even heard, interestingly enough, that within the region there's concern. Within the regional police forces, there's concern about the secretariat, because they're feeling that if this battle is won in South Africa, other countries could go the same way within the province. That was something that was told me just before I went overseas last week, that even people in the region are concerned. The regional police agencies are concerned about what's happening in the secretariat. So I think that I think it's very difficult given the relationship between the Secretariat and the Minister, and given the fact that everybody is well aware of the legislation, and probably given the fact that the management team within the Secretariat are all relatively assertive people, for the police to completely deny access to information. They do, there is certainly in some instances, in some instances we've had amazing cooperation. In other instances, there's definitely been a dragging of feet around things, and we've had to force the information to come through. And at some point, we've even had to ensure the minister's intervention in securing some of that information. I think the issue around the parliamentary questions is less that if we ask the police, they're not going to give us that information, because generally when we're doing the monitoring stuff, we don't just rely on the information from the police. We will try and find out from other people as well. If we're looking at the stuff that we're doing around the forensic laboratories now, we certainly aren't just relying on the police and other people for information. We're actually sending our own team of experts in, some of whom will have forensic experience to actually look at what is going on. But I think the point about the parliamentary questions is sometimes a question is asked, and what comes up in the answer, because we're doing monitoring and oversight on an ongoing basis, it raises alarm bells and makes you think, I need to look into this particular issue. So if that's more the issue, then that they won't give us the information unless a parliamentarian is asking for it. Is that very often parliamentarians are asking questions, and the information that comes back to us immediately sets off alarm bells, and we say we need to look into this matter quite seriously. And I think that's what we're talking about. I think in terms of the budget being sufficient, we dealt with that. Okay. I want to just deal with the targets, and then some of the other questions. I just want to give other staff a chance to respond to some things, and then we could write the other questions down. But will we meet our targets and fulfill them? I think the targets that we're setting between April and June are the building blocks of which the other things are going to happen. So if they don't happen between June, we're not going to be able to meet any of these performance targets, because they are things like the reorganization, the restructuring. It's those things that we have very tight timelines. They're almost the building blocks on which we're going to base the rest of it on. I just want to ask Mr. Kins and Mr. Zemo to respond quickly to some of the other questions, and then maybe we can give you written responses to the rest of it.
Thank you. Thank you, Chairperson. This issue of the distribution of vehicles, the question that you asked directly, is something that we're going to be getting into. I've already in one of the provinces a few years ago been involved in asking the very same question. Why does it take police officers so long? Where are the vehicles? I mean, you've gone over on visits. The short answer in the exercise that I was involved in a few years ago before I joined the Secretariat was that the vehicles are involved in shift changes. In the research that I conducted in the Kalisha police station, 50% of the vehicles was operational, and 50% of the vehicles were either in the police garages being fixed, or it was at somebody's house that was off. And of the 50% of the vehicles that was in use, the majority of those were used for shift changes. And that is why you'd only find two or three vehicles in such a big station doing patrols, because it takes up to 3 hours to change shifts at such a large station because of where people live. Now, I'm not sure if that picture has changed, so, but we're going to be looking at that, and we'll be able to give you a report on that. Secondly, were we involved with the rank structure in terms of the information? No, we weren't. At this stage, we weren't consulted. We've also heard about this particular rank. Yeah. Sorry, then. Did you withdraw that comment, Chair?
I think that it was before Mr. Kins came on board.
Sorry.
I just want to clarify, it was before Mr. Kins came on board.
Yeah.
I think that it was at a stage where the Secretariat was not fully functional. So I think we were briefed, but it was quite far down the stage, and we did make certain inputs into that. But it was quite far down the process. So I think that it's not true to say we weren't involved. We were involved, but quite far down the process, and it was because I think that a lot of this happened before we had started to develop our capacity, and also because there were certain communication problems which have subsequently been ironed out.
Just the question on the global view of policing practice and methodologies. We're saying that South Africa is part of the global community, and we've been implementing police practices based solely almost on other countries and what's happening in Western countries in terms of policing models. For instance, being tough on crime and having a tougher approach on crime. That in itself doesn't necessarily, in terms of international research, translate into a reduction of crime. The more you arm the police, the more violent your crime rate is going to become. That's international best practice. And what we're saying is that there's no reason why South African methodologies can't contribute to the international, because what can the world learn from South African police? We have to ask that particular question because we learn from other countries, and we have to actually ask what is it that we can export to the world in terms of policing. So that's the short answer to the question. I think I'm going to leave it there. And then, the question of the interventionist approach. What we say is that when we pick up information, ideally, Chairperson, if we pick up information that the police's approach is going to, in terms of, let's just take the World Cup, if they're saying they're doing public order policing, and we understand that the public order policing approach relates to a very different approach where you manage crowds. You don't need live ammunition, for instance, to use against crowds. And if we pick up that the police has been ordering more live ammunition and using it in the training, then we'd be concerned. We'd immediately want to intervene in such a situation. That would be an interventionist approach, where the secretary will obviously, through our offices, we would alert and say, look, we're picking this up. And that would be an example of an interventionist approach, so that we just don't be make a report and leave it. On the issue of journals, at this stage we can't be ambitious, and we're saying that we're looking at two, just two reports in journals, peer-reviewed journals, so that we also have a view in terms of where we see policing going in the country. And there are numerous journals. There's Policing Practice as a journal, there's South African Criminal Justice Review, and so forth.
Thank you, Chairperson. Honourable members, I think we'll have to look at the issue of dogs and horses. We'll have to submit make a written submission on that. The other issue where I think we might have to provide members with the written information, because it's sort of a longish subject, is the issue of reserves. I think we, in the time that we have now, not easy to respond, but that information is available. The secretary could make it available to the committee even as early as Monday next week. The issue that relates to substance abuse. The other issue, Chairperson, that has been raised relates to what is happening to our communities. Now, again, to try to be brief, we'll just draw the attention of honourable members to page 19 and page 20 of the document in colour, yes. There, the third column, the first paragraph of the third column talks about the development of a criteria. That is page 19. If we just note that aspect of the development of the criteria, and then page 20, the fourth column, the last paragraph down there, the intergovernmental partnerships, fourth column, notes that the issue of developing the criteria needs to be a consultative process. Now, the reason for that is so that we can actually pick up on issues like the issue that has been raised in the committee. The time that we have to do those things is actually the end of May 2010. Now, the issue of the targets that are to be reached quite soon comes in, but we hope that by then we should have come back to the committee just to consult on that issue of developing the criteria, and we hope that the issue of substance abuse and other issues that affect communities will come up. Thank you, Chairperson.
Madam Chair,
now, but I would hope that when they come back, the EIC lays a detailed program for communication in their program, in their plan. Now, I would like to know what do they have a plan? Because police also, of course, is in their rank. Communication, even police were responsible for communication. How are we going to manage this communication so that despite the fact that they are operating, that no go-to signal are sent to society? I think that that one would be important. And the second one, which I also don't want, is in the police at the moment, there's a big, in the legal department, there's a big group that is responsible for making laws. What's going to happen to them? Are they going to come? Because once I see there's a plan now, they are going to be completely responsible for legislation. Are they going to take those people there, or are they going to leave them? What's going to happen? But as I'm saying, I don't need answers now.
No, thank you very much. I think the question was asked in Victoria. Member, that is it. Thank you very much for the presentation and response to your question. So that I'm sending the due date is 23, not later, can be earlier, but not beyond 23rd of this month. We're supposed to have our other presentation, but time is like this. And I think that our researcher will distribute all we have, he said. And I think members will read that work which is prepared by our researcher in preparation for our meeting on Tuesday. We will be meeting ICD in the morning and, of course, the department on Sunday. Thank you very much. I will request members to prepare questions because we already have the ICD presentation so that we can move quickly and that we can prepare questions, that we ask questions, not speech. Thank you very much.
Allow me just the other order for a second. That one of the things I think the committee proposed that one of the things that I think we need to begin to appreciate, ma'am, is that, Madam Chair, is that you see a report of this nature. Sort of tend to put us in a position that we now understand what is at stake and what is the unit doing, and we need to appreciate that. I wanted to propose that maybe we should look at the committee statement sometimes, especially the wonderful work that has been done, you know, which the committee can say, having received the report and the plans and all of that, just issue a statement, you know, because sometimes what I pick up is that there's this negative thing that is coming out of, you know, the wonderful work that the police are doing. I'm not sure if we do that as a committee, but I think it's very important that we should always be in the front as a committee, you know, to raise positive things that are coming out of the department. And for me, it's a very critical thing.
Yeah. I think on several times we have, because we have met with the secretariat, not once, not twice. I think it's for the first time today, if I'm not mistaken, and it's the very first time when she appeared before the portfolio committee. We appreciated her appointment first and the appointment of other members that followed her appointment at the department. I think we have, but we always, but now we're looking for the way. That's what we are asking for now. I think we've gone past the stage of appreciating the appointment because it's last time. What we want now from them is the work. Not just written reports, we want the word now, and I think we must emphasize it. I just wanted to make the comment. You know, today in the meeting, Mr. Ndlovu, I'm not sure that Bishop is, Mr. Ndlovu,
The meeting is active.